stand with me. Please stand with me in the presence of the Lord as we read His word and declare His word, the holy word of God, the word that sustains life, the word that enlightens us when we dwell in the knowledge of His word. And I want to just begin with that this morning as a sense of His presence in this place. There's already a mighty sense of the presence of God here. And if you are not sensing that, come and I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Because the people of God must always live in His presence. Amen. There's no excuse whatsoever. And when you understand that and the protocols of heaven, where you go, what you do, what you don't do is all in His presence. We carry His presence with us everywhere. Because He said, I am who I am. I am, the great I am is with you. Present continuous tense, if you're an English speaker. I am with you. I am who I am. I am who I am. I am with you, says the Lord. I am. We have no excuse whatsoever not to experience His presence. If you claim to be a child of God, I dare you this morning to step into His presence. Amen. And begin to breathe and begin to move. Amen. And begin to have your being according to His word in Acts 17. In Him I live. In Him I move. Oh, my brother Phil, what? You are here? Oh, my goodness. In Him I move, and in Him I have my being. Spirit, soul, man. Spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit man. You are a spirit woman before you became a body. You didn't get that, did you? You are a spirit man before you put on a skeleton. Get this. You are a spirit man before you put on a skeleton. Can you imagine you walking without a skeleton? You all know what a skeleton is, right? You all get a sabido English here. You all know that a skeleton holds your body up, upright. Because of the skeleton, it holds the weight of our body. I don't need to be a doctor to know that. All I need is a skeleton, and I know that my skeleton holds the rest of the weight of my body. So when you have your being in God, your entire being, your spirit man, when you have your being in God, and when your spirit man is absorbed in His presence, no weight in the world will affect you. No weight, no heat in the atmosphere will affect you because you're walking in the Spirit. The whole of the book of Romans talks about that. Where are you? It's in Romans. The whole of the book of Romans talk about walking in the Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Actually, I was not going to preach that this morning. Hallelujah. But stand with me in the presence of the Lord, because I value that presence. Oh my goodness, I, without his presence, I am nothing. Without his presence in this place, it's just a club. It's just another meeting. It's another place where we come on a routine every Sunday, 10 o'clock a.m., we meet here. But Living Light Church, since I have connected with you, since through the seventh of the living God, Pastor Ben and Pastor Judith here, I am committed to this place because when I first started coming here, I could sense the presence of the Lord. I could sense an anointing that I knew back in PNG. Because I moved around for a number of years outside of PNG in 2004. Until I stepped into Living Light Church. And the Lord reminded me of his presence that I knew in PNG. And that I knew wherever I went. And after cultivating that sense of his presence, wherever I have been, and here in Australia, there's so many years, when I stepped into this place, the Lord reminded me and said, this is the place for you. Because of the presence of God. You know, I don't come here just because Papa Ben, Pastor Ben invites me. I come here because I envy the presence of God in this place. I value the presence of God. And so I'm saying to you, you are very, very special. If you have been a part of this place here, I dare you to step into his presence and not only just step in and stand there with your skeleton, but the scripture reminds us in Ezekiel to wade into his presence. When you wade in feather, knee high, ankle high, knee high, and waist level, and when you start wading through, my goodness, what happens? You no longer need the skeleton anymore. Because the Holy Spirit, you're flowing in the river of God. And the Holy Spirit will take you wherever he wants you to go. Oh! Woo! Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 1. Acts, the book of Acts, the history of the church. Acts 1, it says, the former account I made, I, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. And after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments. Everyone say commandments. Commandments. Take note of that word. Given to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive. Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is alive, I say. Amen. Jesus is alive. Oh, man. You know, in Wewick, many years ago, as a young teenager, the Holy Spirit came. I was in the midst of a revival in the mid-70s. I was one of those revival kids. I know about dead men rising. I've seen it with these naked eyes of mine. And Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. I say he's alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's the passage here? Okay. To whom he also presented himself alive. Verse 3. After his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So there's a space of 40 days after he rose from the grave. Hallelujah. Yeah. You wonder why I have wondered about this in my Bible college work for many years. What he did in the 40 days. What happened in the 40 days? That's a huge question, in my mind at least. I don't know whether you've asked that question or not. But as I'm reading this passage again, I'm reminded of that question. What happened to Jesus after he rose from the dead? And then from the time he rose from the dead to the 40th day, what did he do? What did he do? Hallelujah. I don't have the answer yet. The full answer. Hallelujah. But I'm investigating it. I'm searching it. I'm looking out into it. Researching it. I'm dissecting it. Whatever reference that I know in my theological upbringing and training, I'm going into it, every root word, every canal, and I'm saying, what did he do? What did you do, Lord, in the 40 days? It remains a mystery. Apostle Paul only puts one word, it's a mystery. But we know from the book of Acts afterwards, what's here before us in Acts provides us the sequence of the work of the church after Jesus had risen from the dead. And we stand here today in honor of what he did. We stand, I ask you to stand because I want you to stand in his presence today in honor of what he did. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. What he did there, he secured your destiny and your future and mine because of what he did in the 40 days. Hallelujah. Because when he began to move in another dimension, the dimension of the spirit man, he told the disciples in John's gospel, he said, I will be with you. And then he breathed upon them here, ruah, the breath of the Spirit of God. And he moved in another dimension, the spirit dimension. And he's still moving in that dimension today. Still moving in that dimension today. Hey, Pepe, come here first, come here. He's still moving there. One of my sons from the great continent of Africa. Hallelujah. Here, man like him. Here, Walter, come here. Papa Ben is not here. Walter, come here. Man like him. Come up. Here. A spirit dimension. He is connecting men and women in the spirit of the living God. Amen. Not of men. Not of an organization. But he's connecting like-minded men because they have the same spirit that rests upon Yeshua HaMashiach. We are the fathers. Some of us, the father, you call us fathers. But I want this church to understand that the anointing that God has placed on there, and Papa Ben is not here this morning, but the anointing that God has placed, and he's represented here by Judith, the anointing that God placed on this man, these men, and many others, is that they are moving in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. And if you don't understand that, I don't know where you are at. If you don't understand that spirit realm, I don't know how you call yourself a follower of Christ. I really don't know. Because a follower of Christ is a follower of Christ. Not a follower of men, but a follower of Christ. And God has raised men like this. I love these guys. I told Pepe, I'll take you to New Caledonia. We have a big family, because he speaks French too. And say we go there and we blast New Caledonia out of the Pacific Ocean. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pepe. Thank you, Pastor Walter. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Please, please, you may be seated. You may be seated. You may be seated. This is just the first three verses of my Bible school. So if you want to understand the school of the Holy Spirit, you need to enroll in my Bible school for one whole year. Do I have a Bible school? No, I don't have a Bible school. A school like we know schools. But here, I am the school. I am the school. Here, Papa Ben is a school full of the knowledge of the Word of God. Hallelujah. This brother of mine is a walking, living school of the Word of God. This is the Phil. Kim and Phil. We connected in Vanuatu. Now I'm Staplo PNG. I'm no more speak Bishlamana, I'm speak Tokpis in PNG. Because when you are in the Spirit, you move in the Spirit, you flow in the Spirit. You talk the Spirit talk. Your language changes, your vocabulary changes. You don't take those words that come in out of your TVs by channel 9, channel 7, whatever. But your talk is a spiritual talk. Your perspective is a spiritual perspective. And may I remind you this morning, in the presence of God, when you understand that dimension of the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about this morning, then your life will never be the same. There is a change inside out. I never fully understood those things until in these later years of my life as I stepped out of the comfort of my nation to serve the Lord outside of Papua New Guinea. I realized more and more my need to know who the Spirit man is. I realized my need of him to know who the Holy Spirit is. He's my comforter. Yes, he's my paraclete. He's the one who comes beside me and stands with me. He's my comforter. He's my the one that convicts me. He's the one that leads me. And that's who I am today, because in him I live and move and have my being. Some of you know me from my yesteryears in Papua New Guinea. I want you to know the man that you knew in Papua New Guinea is not the same man here today. Because I have moved on in the spirit realm. The students that I once taught, and he happens to be one of my students here, know, and we've remained connected because he knew that God's taken us to a level in the Holy Spirit to walk and live and breathe and have our being in him and do the work of the Lord. What is that work here in Acts? It tells us, here is the prescription, here is the blueprint. In Acts chapter 1. To him, verse 3 says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being sent by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This verse gives me a clue. What he did in those 40 days. But the writer, Luke, does not give us the insight. But I have a clue, and the clue is the 40 days that he was in the spirit dimension. He was not just Jesus in the flesh. He was Jesus in the spirit. And that 40 days, I am guessing here, the 40 days, he intimately downloaded heaven's agenda to his chosen men. Does that make sense to you? He intended, I was going to preach something else, but anyway, we'll go back to some of this later on. But he intimately spent those 40 days in the spirit, as a spirit man, downloading heaven's blueprint so that the apostles will understand the kingdom. So disciples understand it's all about the kingdom of heaven. It's all about the kingdom of God. It's not about any man or any organization. It's not about any group or my group or your group or that group. It's all about Jesus and his agenda. It's all about Jesus and his agenda. So use him modern terminology and download him. You all understand that, what modern terminology. I didn't know that some 20 years ago, download. But download him. And they uploaded. Hallelujah. Amen. He downloaded because he was from heaven. And they uploaded because they from below and they were receiving it. That's a computer terminology. Hallelujah. And so when the disciples caught onto the heart of the message that he wanted them to know, because he only had 3.5 years in the flesh, 33.5 years in the flesh. But the 40 days that we don't have a clear account of what Jesus actually did, I am presenting to you, and this is a case I'm presenting to you, in my line of thinking this morning, that the 40 days he downloaded heaven's agenda to the apostles, and then after that, they understood the mission of Jesus and why he came into the world in the first place. And when they understood that, after that, when they got it, the account in Luke, he now progresses from verse 3 to verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard me." And from John, truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has set in his own authority." But verse 8, "But you shall receive power." Yes. He downloaded the content of the message already to them, and they understood that in their minds. They accepted that in their mental capacity. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his gift. Jesus is alive. That's the first message they preached. They didn't preach any other message but the message that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. We saw him. We talked with him. And then He says, it is not for you to know the times or the season about the kingdom, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. They received the message. They understood the message. Long head, long all, only harem penis. But now he's saying, you're not yet ready until the Holy Spirit endures you. Until the Holy Spirit empowers you. Then you are ready, because you are now going to flow as a spirit man and capture the essence of his mission on earth. And you're going to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Thank God the disciples did that. Well, almost 6-7 years they just stayed in Jerusalem until Acts 8:1 happened. And Acts 8:1, they were so comfortable, they were so happy with themselves in Jerusalem. Hallelujah, me black halap kalapi stop. We were dancing away in Jerusalem until Acts 8:1 happens. What happened in Acts 8:1? Acts 8:1 says the persecution broke out in Jerusalem. And when the persecution broke out, they scattered. Judea, Samaria, and Thomas ended up in Kerala. Where's Shirley? Kerala, Apostle Thomas in India. If you don't know where Kerala is, Apostle Thomas ended up in Kerala, Shirley's hometown. And they spread as far as India. And eventually the message spread within that region of the earth. And then eventually the message spread even further towards the ends of the earth. And as I have been teaching and encouraging our prayer group yesterday and the day before, is that the message of that gospel of the kingdom eventually ended up in this region of the world. Hallelujah. So that the essence of the message is not diluted in any way, is not misconstrued in any way over time. But the heart of the message is that Jesus is alive. Jesus died for our sins. Hallelujah. And that when we repent, we receive eternal life. And that he's preparing a church for himself, and then he will come back to receive us to himself. The essence of the message is still intact despite the time lapse. Hallelujah. So when it finally ended here in Melanesia, Solomon Island being the last Melanesian country to actually receive the gospel message. So, from Jerusalem to Solomon Islands, literally from Jerusalem to Solomon Islands, we are one of the ends of the earth, geographically speaking. So that message came all the way to us, and we received it. And we thank God in the last 2 days we've been celebrating that, at the same time praying into our nation's future. Because they've just recently had a new election. Praying that the content and the spirit of the covenant that was signed by Michael Samari. Can we put that slide on for me with Sir Michael? And that's the covenant. And I happened, by the grace of God, I was a co-witness and signature to that covenant, along with Papa Michael Malia from Solomon Islands. And Papa Reverend Senasi from Bougainville, who was the senior pastor of Sione Kami Memorial Church, where we had the event. And there is Papa Somare saying, by the way, this is copyright, because apart from the one who produced it, I have the only copy for that. Hallelujah. And to give you an evidence of the fact that the coming of that gospel as it spread right through the regions of the world, into different parts of the world, all the way to the continents of Africa, all the way to Asia, all the way to Latin and South America. In the first wave of the missionary move of God, all across the region of the world, you know, in China, when it finally went, Hudson Taylor was then asked, you know, by a Chinese man, why, how long have you had this message? Hey, Phil, how long have you had this message in the West? A Chinese old man, and Hudson Taylor, the great missionary statesman, said, oh, we've had it for almost 200 years. Why has it taken you that long to bring it to us in China? 200 years. Now, for us as Papua New Guineans, and for those of you who are from different nations of the earth, you have received that message. Now, it's our responsibility, according to Acts, to spread the message. I like what various authors have said, to gossip the message. To gossip the message. The message that Jesus is alive. That he's not dead. And the last 2 days, as the fellowship and other intercessors came, we were praying for our nation. Because I'm committed to seeing our nations recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ and follow his blueprint for every nation. Hallelujah. Follow his compassion. Follow his heart. Follow his desire to, and some of us have run with this conviction for the past few years through the prayer assembly that I'm leading as the chairman in the Pacific Forum, a number of years now. We are leading with the conviction that from the ends of the earth, we in this part of the world, from Melanesia, from Micronesia, Polynesia, and Melanesia, and Australia and New Zealand is included in that, will be the last group of people within this region to prepare this move of God, this great big move of God back to the nations of the earth, all the way back to Jerusalem to prepare for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are some who are now saying that there's a coming revival that's greater than the previous revivals. The revival of souls for the in preparing the nations before Jesus returns. And we in the Pacific, I was sharing with our prayer leaders and those who came, I said in 2004 we did something very significant for the region. We ended up in Raiatea when the LMS and the evangelical missions movement came in French Polynesia. We ended up in the very place there. And we began to pray and pray and pray. And during our prayer times together, a Singaporean servant of the living God, Dr. George Anodora, a great friend of ours, he prophesied, he said, you know, I'm a Singaporean. And for Singaporean intercessors, they say, we are the Antioch of Asia. Singaporeans talk like that. We are the hub for sending out missions into Asia. And he stood up and he said, you know, this is my first time into the Pacific region. And I have been praying and scanning the region as far as where God is at work. And I am seeing in my spirit, there's a stirring. The Holy Spirit of God is stirring the water, a mighty water. That was what he was seeing. He said, there's a mighty stirring. And I didn't know what that stirring was. This big pool of water, and there's a stirring. It's the Holy Spirit stirring the water. Until the Holy Spirit said to him, you go to the Pacific Island nations. That's where the stirring is. So he ended up in Tahiti with us and spoke at the conference. And then this is what he said. He said, I believe, he said, I'm an outsider. But as I scan the nations of the earth and where the nations of the earth are at, he said, as far as the gospel is concerned, we thank God for the Western nations predominantly that brought the gospel to many of us from the non-Western countries. But he says, I sense there is a shift in the spiritual atmosphere. He says, I sense that there is going to be a return wave. And he was talking like, there's going to be a return wave. So he said, I'm going to call that as a return wave, the Spirit of the living God, moving his people from this region of the world, unlike any other places, preparing the nations of the earth for the return of Jesus. And some of us picked up on that word. And for the past few years, we've been working with all of our nations. And Papua New Guinea was one of those nations where we got the nations together, prayed with the leadership of the nation together. And the result of that was the signing of the covenant. The prime minister was involved. The governor general was involved. We had prayer breakfast. And then we had prayer breakfast in Vanuatu in 2002 and 2003, the Vanuatu Prime Minister covenanted the nation of Vanuatu to God, late Edward Natape, when we were there. So we were going about as the Holy Spirit was leading, we were saying, okay, God, we don't really understand this, but if this is what you're saying to us, we will do it. We were like donkeys. And so the Vanuatu Prime Minister got involved. The president of Vanuatu, Kalkot Mataskelkele, and my brother Phil was there that time in Vanuatu when all the churches got together and Prime Minister Natape covenanted the nation of Vanuatu back to God. Then in most recent times, we were in New Caledonia. The New Caledonians in 2018 committed the nation back to God. Then in Samoa in 2019, Prime Minister and the President, I was having a meal with them and our prayer leaders. They said, what can we do? We heard something happened in PNG and we want to do that for Samoa. So we sat with the Prime Minister of Samoa, and then they cut a covenant with God also. Hallelujah. In 2019. And our heart's desire is not just to make a name for ourselves, but our heart's desire is that God has downloaded something in our spirit to be able to shift the nations, believing that the Holy Spirit will come upon our nations and the leaders of our nation to turn around, turn from their wicked ways, and direct the nation on the pathway, not just a goat nation, but a sheep nation. Because Matthew talks about that, eh? He's coming back for those who are his own. And I want to just do something prophetic, but I'm timing it in a way that I hope Papa Ben is going to be here, Pastor Ben is going to hear. But I woke up this morning and I saw this in my spirit, and I think it'll be appropriate when I finish the message. So hopefully he comes in on time, but if it's not, I think it'll be recorded, huh? Okay, so he will definitely see that. But I want to do a scrum formation. I know Pastor Ben loves his rugby match. And I love my rugby match too. That's why I gave Pastor Ruben and Pastor Walter last night a cowboy cap. Because I'm from the cowboy country. Yeah. I want to do a scrum formation, because this is what we did in Tahiti in 2004. But I woke up, didn't think about doing it, but I woke up this morning, the Holy Spirit said, scrum formation. Scrum formation. So I'm going to do a scrum formation. So I want to show you a picture form of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in this region of the earth. So, you know anything about a scrum formation? I'm going to ask for a few volunteers to come stand in front here to form a scrum formation. You bless have a little rugby here. Oh, okay, all the pastors. Yes, thank you, Janet. All the pastors, come. All the pastors in the house, come. Yeah, you'll be in the front of the formation of the scrum. Thank you, missionary. Okay, you bless stand up the front, facing the congregation. Okay. Go up to the edge of the carpet there and face the front. You're in the front rows. You are the front rows. Okay. All the pastors and leaders, make one straight line. Okay. They are the front row. Okay. Now I'd like the props to come. I'd like the second rows to come. So who Pastor Raymond. Yeah. Come on. And then so second rows, please come up. All supporting team here. You people are all supporting team Living Light Church. All the elders and musicians, whatever. Okay, you people come second formation. Okay. Papa Bill, you please step forward a little bit in front, to the forefront, yeah. Okay, second row, hallelujah, woo! Yay. Okay, we have a front row, we have the second rows. Okay, now we would have what they call the halfbacks. So I want to have a few halfbacks at the back. So come. Yes. If you're a businessman or a businesswoman, I want you to come and be the halfback. If God has blessed you, because you know this gospel cannot spread, this gospel cannot go without the halfbacks. If God has anointed you to be a place where you support the missions work, you support the church planting work, then I'm calling you the halfbacks. Hallelujah. Oh, this is a wonderful. Please capture this on picture and you can remember this. So the halfbacks, I'm calling them the ones that are right behind the vision of the church and the pastors and the leaders that are in front. The leaders catch the vision of church planting, church growth, and street evangelism and all of that, and outreach into the various aspects of the life of the city and the life of the community. And the props there, because the missionaries and the pastors are in the front line, they need props that will hold them up in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Props that will hold them up when their legs get weary, when their hands get tired, like Joshua in time of Moses. And when Moses gets tired and sits down, puts his hands up, there are props there. They'll come and lift their hands up and say, "We're with you. We're with you." Hallelujah. And they're the props. And then the fullbacks, oh my goodness. Their role is, they are, and the props are the engine room, the prayer warriors, the intercessors, and they're standing there in the gap. And they're propelling the front rowers to keep going, keep doing what God's called you to do. Don't give up, because we are with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the props are there. They provide the support. They provide the nourishment. So the pastors need to eat too anyway. They need to drink too. They need fuel in their cars too, you know. And where will they get that from? Huh? All prop, yeah. Hallelujah. Fullback, yeah. Fullback, yeah, by giving him all this, Lord. Give him all this blood, Lord. Give him support. Lord, pastors, Lord, front, yeah. So when they step out to do God's bidding, there's a team right there with them and behind them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Living Light Church, I want to prophesy this morning to you, that you're about to see things that you never believed would happen right here in this place. Because it'll break forth from here. It'll be out on the streets of Cairns. And it'll go further than here. Wherever the streams of the river of God flows, you will flow there. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you are going to move in the spirit realm. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. And so as you begin to move and have your beings in him, and the disciples in the early church understood that dynamic of the Holy Spirit. As they began to move, they didn't move on their own, but they had props with them. They had fullbacks behind them that went with them, and the work was accomplished in their day. Now I am challenging our churches in our time and age, where you as a member of the congregation, you too have a place right there. And it's not just the ones that are up front here now, but you too have that place where when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, this is what Jesus commanded. It's a command from the Lord. Let me know one plus something you take lightly. It's a command. A command is a command. You obey it. You listen. And you obey. And you step out in obedience. You step out by faith. And so he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And be what? Witnesses. And the rest of that history as witnesses of the fact that Jesus is alive spread right through the world in the time of the New Testament. And when he went into the hallways of Rome, when Paul took over and Paul began to disperse that message through the Gentile world of his day. And I've always said this to my Bible college students over here, I thank God for Apostle Paul. Because had he not picked up that blueprint and vision for this gospel to the Gentiles, where would we be today? But Paul picked it up and he ran with that. And we are the recipients of that by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So we need to do one last thing here, guys. Now, you understand what happens in the scrum. So, all props, you blah hold him, go past and the sun up. Put him neck blue, under the shoulder blow, or line yellow, front row, yeah? Okay, props, you play go, fit in, and fullback, you play to go, fit in. Okay, now wait. I'm going to give you a command. This is a command. And the command is, go! Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, you may be seated. Oh, give the Lord a hand of praise. Woo! Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you very much. And the goal is to go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world. That's the command. Go. Because I love what Pastor Joseph Joe Eka preached in Napranam in Arakun up recently in July. We were up there, up the Cape End. A missionary of God from Mount Hagen. I'm talking to you now, Mount Hagen, man, I'm seeing on there. Kabuka Morom, Kont Morom. Yeah. I love what he preached to us at the United Church, at St. Barnabas United Church in Napranam just a few weeks back in July. And his message was short, sharp, and sweet. And he stood up and he said, Australia has run out of wine. And we were sitting there. Now, don't forget, I was a former principal of a Bible college. And when you hear a statement like Australia is out of wine, mind starts working and say, okay, what's next? What is he going to say? And then he said, Australia needs new wine. But in order for the new wine, you need new wineskins to capture this new move that God is going to bring into our world. Hallelujah. You need new wines and structures that will hold the new wine. But, you know, the structures that we have in our world today, some of them are useless structures. Some of them have already got their used-by dates. Their times have expired, but they're still holding on to those structures. I've been in church life long enough to know what I'm talking about. Some have gone past the useful dates. those, I'm talking about structures, governing structures, organizational structures. You know, when you become a church, you are not just an organized structure, but you are a growing organism. Entertain, allow for growth. That's my message to Living Light Church. Amen. Room for growth. Amen. Because when I started coming here, and I kept telling Pastor Ben, and Pastor Judy is here to witness, I said, this place is already too small. Amen. Church, did you hear me? Yes. You're very quiet here. This place is too small. So the question is, by you walking one end, what are you going to do? Fullback, you have your place. Second row, you have your place. Front line, you have your place. And when the scrum is in form, and when the scrum is in formation, I used to be a rugby player, by the way, years ago. Don't be deceived by my looks now, you know. Yeah. That's why I got, this young girl got in love with me. You know. Because, you know, I was so handsome. And I had all the right, you know, I won't go there. But my favorite position as a player was 5'8". 5'8" positions in a rugby match is a pivotal position. He's the playmaker. He's the playmaker. He swings that way or he swings that way. So I understand rugby. That's why I love rugby as an entertainment. And when I can get the timeout at the right days, me sit down looking Cowboys and Broncos only. Yeah. But this place, church, I love you guys. And you hear it from a father's heart who love you. I am believing God that this place is going to explode. And it's going to grow. I prophesy that. And I'm believing God we find a bigger place. Even if, you know, my previous message, I was talking about the Thanksgiving Sunday, we were here. And the Lord showed me, I was just preaching. Pastor Ben was preaching the Sunday before, and I was sitting right there. But when we ended up for lunch, I said to Pastor Ben, I'm sorry, I must ask your forgiveness. You were preaching, but I was not hearing you. I was seeing something else. And I was seeing the middle structure of this building lifted up, and the frames were extended all the way out. And I told him during lunch period, and I said, Pastor, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, or is the church thinking about redoing this place up so we have an upper level and a lower level? Or is it something to talk to us all? Hallelujah. Because already this is too full. When you are this many packed, it's actually way beyond. Church growth statistics say newcomers will come and they just stand out there and say, oh, this is too full. They're going to go somewhere else. Hallelujah. Are you quiet all going now? Yeah. So I'm giving you something to chew over. Because I'm part of this church already. The only thing is that Pastor Joe and Pastor Ben, they are my troublemakers. Because every time they see me, say, Papa, but what do you mean by you move? Come on, kids. Because body blow me stablo Townsville. But spirit blow me stablo here. So I told them, they said, we are praying and praying. And one time I said to the two of them, I said, thank you for praying for me, but you need to go beyond prayer. You need to do what the Old Testament prophets will do. They put on sackcloth, yeah, and ashes. And when you reach that level, then maybe then I might shift. Ay, papabili yung tingwan em. Good plato ka, lotu playa. Em number no garaya, yes. What do you think, Kevin? Good, huh? Em now. So I said to them, okay. I, in my spirit, I'm here. I said to the folks who went up to Napuranam, I said, I have been in Napuranam for many, many years. In Weipa area. And we've scanned that in terms of our prayer movement, our prayer leaders for the past 30 years. This year is our 30th anniversary as a prayer movement in the Pacific regions. And we're going to Solomon Islands in October. Mama and I are going there to celebrate our 30th year as a prayer movement in the Pacific. All of Melanesia, all of Polynesia, even Micronesia, stood on Majuro. All the way back in 2009, we were in West Coast America and the Native Indians protocoled us at William Carey University in 2009. And the Native Navajo chiefs, they came, they welcomed us into country. Navajo country. And they said, Pacific, because their story is this. Their story says the old people, the old prophets, the Navajo Indians, they have a story, and we didn't know it until we got there. They saw a canoe, and they always talk about the old people always say, the people from the seas will come in their canoes one day, and when they beach on our shores, welcome them. They have good news for you. And so when we ended up there, they said, the prophecy is fulfilled. The islands have come. The canoes have beached on our shores. And we welcome you into Navajo country, West Coast America. Hello? And I sat in the office. Three of us sat in the office. And I'll close with this story. This is a true encounter. After we were protocoled and welcomed as the Pacific Prayer Movement by the Navajo Native Indians of West Coast America in Pasadena, we had the program at William Carey University in Pasadena. And the founder of William Carey University, Dr. Ralph Winter, in his 92 years of age, called us into his office one day. Myself, Papa Milo Silata from Samoa, and Michael Maliel. Said three of us in his office at William Carey University, 2009, and he said, I opened the campus for you guys because I've been waiting for the Pacific to show up. And you have shown up in terms of your response to missions. Because our response to mission began under the World Evangelical Fellowship challenge from the Pacific Islands in 1989. What will the Pacific do in terms of a missions move of God? And we then, the leaders back then with Kevin Hovey and Anthony Donaghy, one of our national executives, then said in 1989 in Fiji, they said, on behalf of the Evangelical Fellowship of Papua New Guinea and the region, the Pacific, Sione Kami, who was the chairman of the Pacific Evangelical Fellowship Alliance, he said, on behalf of the Pacific, our response to the gospel, hello, praise the Lord, welcome. I was just waiting for you to come so we can do the scrum formation. But anyway, you'll see there. Hallelujah. Papa, come up, just let me give you a hug first. Bless you, mighty man of God. Bless you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise for the man of God. And in that office, this is what he told the three of us from the islands of the sea. Samoan, Solomon Islander, and me from PNG. He said, I've been waiting for the Pacific to come and show up. And when I heard that the prayer movement was going to come, I opened the campus for you guys to come and host your event here. And he said, I'm already advanced in my cancer. I'm going to die anytime. But I want you Pacific Islanders to begin to document and write about the mission work in the Pacific Islands and how the missionary movement rose up through the Polynesian missionaries, the Melanesian missionaries, the Tongans and the Samoans that brought the gospel, Cook Islanders that brought the gospel all the way, and the Fijians that came all the way. He said, there's not enough literature available of those work. He said, you islanders need to write and capture that. So the rest of the Western country, he's saying, for the benefit of the Western countries, we can read. He said, we in the West, and this is what he said to us, we in the West, we are paper people. We see it on paper. We read it, we dissect it, we think about it, and then we can have a conversation about it. But you guys are not the paper people. You are the people people. You flow with the people of God. And he challenged us. And some of us have begun to do that in a small way. I'm already writing. Milo's writing. Papa Michael passed away last year. Documenting just the journey that some of our forefathers have done in times past, but have never been documented. So the rest of the world can at least have an opportunity to, what Papa Michael Malio says, just the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and let the rest of the world take their portion and distribute it and see where the Lord takes it from there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. We did a scrum for mission. Let's all stand together in his presence. Thank you, Jesus. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world. The whole world. The whole world. The whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. Amen. That was the theme of the big missions and evangelical thing in 1989 in the Philippines with Dr. Billy Graham and other evangelical leaders. The whole world taking the whole gospel to the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. And it is my prayer today to challenge you about the work of missions, and at the same time the work of going out there and begin to reproduce yourselves wherever God has put you, in your office space, in your school space, wherever God's placed you. That's your mission field. Hallelujah. That's the harvest is right there, because you have the Spirit of the living God in you to make a change, to change the atmosphere. If your boss is swearing all the time, just pray for him to change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that your people are here. They've gathered in your house, Lord, and they've worshipped you, and they have, Lord, come together to glorify your name. And today, Lord, as we just briefly touched on the messages that have come before me and the others, Lord, through your servants, Pastor Walter Carmi and Pastor Raymond, Lord, we just thank you, and we thank you for the message that have come before this event today, Lord. We pray, oh Father, that your people will rise up and begin to note that they too have a part to play, Lord. That every one of them seated in his house today and everyone standing in this place today have a part to play in the greatest enterprise of all. Oh, the church of the living God. Hallelujah. The mighty triumphant church of God. When Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. And so, Father, we just decree that this morning by the grace of God, that as your people in the past been faithful carriers of the message of the gospel through the Western nations, and the Westerners brought the gospel to many of our non-Western nations, we thank you, Father, for that. We are forever grateful for the sacrifices and the hardship that they faced, because we don't have the convenience that we now have today in technology and advancement, but Father, they went literally out there and stepped out in obedience to you, stepped out believing that you will provide for their every need. And today we are all recipients of the sacrifices they made, Lord, for the sake of the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. For the sake of the kingdom of God, for the sake of your church in this world, being the salt and the light of the world. And I pray this morning, O God, that everyone in this place will go away knowing that they have a role to play in this greatest enterprise of all. It is greatest adventure of all, O God. I pray this morning that every child in this house here will understand their place in their home and their place in their role as an agent for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you this morning. Bless your people today. I just want to have just a closing challenge this morning. If you sense in your heart at any time in this message and this delivery of the message, maybe the message that came through this confirmation, and you're saying, oh, God, I've been a spectator, but I don't want just to be a spectator no more. I want to be a participator. I want to participate in this kingdom venture. I want to participate in the greatest enterprise of all. I want to be connected to what's happening. So if that is your heart's cry, step out from where you are. Come in front. And let me pray with you. Pastor Bill is here. Pastoral teams are here. We'll pray with you. So for those who are desiring the heart, I've sat too long. I don't want to just sit and just warm the pew only. But I want to be a participator in this kingdom venture. Then you come forward. Whether you're a prop, or whether you're a prop or a back, fullback. But if you even don't know the position, just come. Because in the course of time, God's going to reveal to you your place and your role to be part of this greatest venture of all. Hallelujah. 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 I can say this to you without any shame whatsoever, because I'm in the midst of the family. The last 2 days of the PNG Covenant Day, I told the team that came, and Papa Joe upstairs when we met for briefing, and I said, you know, I'm doing this event without any budget whatsoever. There's no budget for this. But you have responded. Raymond, you have responded from Sydney with your wife. You've traveled all the way. And Walter Cumming, you've come all the way from PNG to be with us here. I don't have a budget for this two-day event. But I come because I know the Lord wanted us to do this. And you have responded to the Lord. And you have come knowing that there's no budget. And so we don't have a stake whatsoever in how God moves and what He does. He does it for His purpose and for His glory. And so when they came, I said, and Pastor Judy, in her role as our host pastors, as they provided light refreshments for us, I said, thank you, Lord. This is truly a kingdom dynamics at work. Because it's just not something that's moved by money, but it's a kingdom network, a kingdom dynamics. And when that happens, then we know money is needed, money is important, but we know that's not the main thing. The main thing is the main thing, God first. And when God comes first, when the vision is put out to the people of God, I've always said this in different platforms for many, many years, when you want to venture out on something, and in the church board meetings or in a college board meeting, the first question they would ask you, say, we don't have the money for this. That's a wrong question. Yeah. Wrong question. The question should be, do you have the faith to step out? Do you have the faith to believe God? Because you know it's a God thing. Money, people, manpower, resources will come when you step out. And when you walk on the water, that's where you see the miracle. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, Papa Bill. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Jesus, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, let's lift our hands toward heaven. Worship leader, Jen, Pastor Jen, lead us. I'm going to pray. Pray. Pastors, come. Pray. Let's just pray for God's will. Whatever you sense in, just pray this morning.